So we are holding on Ayin Bey's Omud Aleph, let's say six lines from the bottom, for Pshitim. Lines against Pshitim. Okay, so to recap where we were yesterday, the Mishnah told us we had what seemed to be a we didn't know whether it was a two-way or a three-way argument. We had the Chachamim, we had Rabbi Akiva, and we had Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva arguing about when you sell somebody a field, are you including the wine press or the birdhouse or whatever that may be included in the field? Or no, we said no, those aren't included, but we had the Machlokes. Rabbi Akiva would say that you also sold him all of the field, including any right of way that you need to get to those things, and the Chachamim said not, because Moichav Ayin Ra Moichav. Then we continued with the Mishnah saying that when you're giving a gift, it's different, then you give everything. And we said the same thing as far as Hekdesh, and we said Rav Shimon had said that no, with Hekdesh, you're not necessarily including everything. You're not including the bird or the gas or what have you. You're including the trees, though. Why are you including the trees? We said yesterday, we brought a braisa where Rav Shimon says the logic is because essentially, true, you weren't Makdish the trees, but since you were Makdish all the land, and the trees get their nourishment from the land, which is now Hekdesh, inevitably the trees themselves are going to be Hekdesh then. So now we were trying to figure out how this all can be made to work. We said we had a statement by Rav Huna that said that if you sold your land to somebody else but kept yourself the trees, then you also keep yourself land along with them. So we tried to figure out whose opinion does that work with. We wanted to say that Rav Huna would be saying that according to the Rabbanon. Moicher b'ayin ra moicher. Therefore, he reserves himself a path to the bor or the gas. By the same logic, he reserves himself land for the trees. Whereas Rav Shimon would be holding like Rabbi Akiva, which led us into a discussion that, on the face of it, Rav Shimon, which is where we're in the middle of now, that we brought a braisa about a case where you were makdish trees and land. Where we said over there that land does not necessarily go together with the trees. If you were makdish fewer than three trees, just like when you sell fewer than three trees, there's no character with them. So also when you makdish fewer than three trees, there's no land with them. So we said that braisa can't be according to Rabbi Akiva. It can't be according to the Rabbanon. Evidently, it must be according to Rabbi Shimon. That's where we're up to. We're still trying to figure out.
Braisa was supposed to do what?
The braisa about this case where you makdish one or two trees where there's no land with them. No land goes along with them. Therefore, if you end up being poda, you're only being poda the trees. There's no land to be poda. We said that can't go like Rabbi Akiva because if moicher ba'ayin yofa moicher, makdish is also ba'ayin yofa makdish, and therefore you're makdish the trees as well. When you're makdish the trees, then automatically land is going to go along with them. At least the land where the trees themselves are located. Rabbi Akiva would say, that's pointed at Rabbi Akiva, that Mochav Ayin Yofa Mochav and Makdish Vayin Yofa Makdish. The Rabbanon say that at least Makdish Vayin Yofa Makdish. If we're saying over here Makdish Vayin Ra Makdish, that we Makdish only one or two trees, you're not automatically Makdish land in it. That can't work according to either of those opinions on the face of it. It must be according to Rabbi Shimon.
Right.
Now we're continuing with the discussion. Well, we wanted to say that Rav Shimon at the top of the Amud, that Rav Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva, in which case then we have only two opinions to work with, the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. We only have then two opinions to work with. No, we said this braisa has to be according to Rav Shimon. But the point is that when Rav Huna said his din about you sold your land but you kept two trees, that you're entitled to karka along with the trees, we wanted to say that goes according to the Rabbanon. But in order to make that work, it means that Rav Shimon would have to be holding like Rabbi Akiva. Now we're though Rav Shimon, who holds in our Mishnah that you makdish the trees, that the trees go along with the karka. When you makdish the karka, automatically the trees go along with it. And we said yesterday that Rav Shimon said the reason is because the trees get their nourishment from land of Hekdesh, meaning you were makdish all the land. You didn't reserve any for yourself. If we want to say that goes like Rabbi Akiva, because Moicher b'ayin yofa Moicher and Makdish b'ayin yofa Makdish, the problem with that is that's what we're going to figure out now. Because we have two different statements that seem to be from Rav Shimon. We had one statement yesterday that Rav Shimon said that when you Makdish land, automatically the trees go along with it because you didn't keep yourself any of the land, and therefore the trees are getting nourishment from a field of Hekdesh, and therefore they themselves become Hekdesh. On the other hand, in the braisa that we quoted at the end, in the Braisa on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, we say that if you makdish that if you makdish one or two trees, you're not makdish any land along with them. So what is it? So if makdish by yalpa makdish, like we said yesterday, and therefore you makdish the land, then automatically you're not keeping yourself any land, and the trees go with it. What's the logic to say that in the opposite case you makdish trees that no land should go along with them? Makdish by yalpa makdish, you should be makdish the land that the trees are standing on. So actually, I mean, the Rashbam says we're not really dealing with that question so much right now. We're really dealing right now with the question of how we make Rav Huna's din work. How we make Rav Huna's din work with any of the opinions that we're dealing with over here. Once we figure that out, then automatically, as in the course of that, we'll figure out the apparent contradiction in Rav Shimon's statement. But right now, the main thing we're trying to focus on is Rav Huna had said that if you sold land and kept yourself and kept yourself two trees and you also keep kalka with them, we said that on the face of it, that goes according to the Rabbanon. In order for that to work, Rav Shimon has to agree with Rav Akiva. And now we're going to see that on the face of it, we can't make Rav Shimon agree with Rav Akiva. So, Rav Shimon al-Liba Demam. So who is Rav Shimon himself? Who is he following? Is he following Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the Talmudim in this Braisa? Is he following and in the Mishnah where he said that's contradictory? That's part of what we have to figure out. But again, right now we're not even dealing so much with the contradiction between Rav Shimon's own statements. Right now we're dealing with Rav Huna's statement. Right. And once we end for that, then we'll also end for the apparent contradiction in Rav Shimon. Right. Now Rav Shimon learned by Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the famous five Talmudim. After Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 Talmudim passed away. He had five new Talmudim. Rav Shimon is one of them. So is Rav Shimon going like Rabbi Akiva, or is he going like one of the other Chachamim, who he learned by other Chachamim as well, besides Rabbi Akiva? So Rav Shimon al-Libid Demam. So who is Rav Shimon following? E al-Libid Rabbi Akiva. If you're going to say that he's following Rabbi Akiva, can't. Rabbi Akiva had said that when you sell, you're selling generously. You're not reserving for yourself a right of way or whatever. And how much more so when you're being makdish, you're makdish b'ayin yafa. Therefore, according to that, if you were makdish trees, automatically you should be makdish land along with them as well, even if it was only one or two trees. Because ayin yafa. There is, by the way, I should mention, I didn't really get into it yesterday, there was a machloikus between the Rashbam and a number of the other Rishonim on the question. Later on, in the next parak, we're going to learn the basic din, that if you sell one or two trees, then karka doesn't go along with them, but if you sell three or more, then karka does go with them. Is it that Rabbi Akiva is arguing with that and saying that, are we implicitly saying that Rabbi Akiva would argue with that and say that even one or two trees karka goes along with because moicha b'ayin yafa moicha? Or are we saying that not? Are we mainly pointing out what Rabbi Akiva would say in the case where you were makdish three trees, even though it was one after the other? Ultimately, you have at the end you have three trees that you were makdish, and therefore land should
the other.
Or even if we have the case yesterday, you were makdish all three trees, and later on you were makdish the karka. Where if you makdish three trees, why isn't there karka with them originally? Okay.
So we have an additional side of the discussion, which is there a difference between three trees or two trees?
Yeah, so according to the Rashbam, we might say that Rabbi Akiva would hold not only if you sell three trees, then automatically the other guy is entitled to karka, but even if you sell one or two trees, he's entitled to karka.
But that's logical, because it's ayin yafa.
Because the other Rishonim argue that not. The fact is, we have a Stam Mishnah in the next Derek. We don't find explicitly Rabbi Akiva is arguing with that Stam Mishnah that says that only with three trees, yes, one or two trees, no. So the difference might be, though, according to Rabbi Akiva, fine, but ultimately when you were makdish three trees, why isn't there any karka going along with them at that point, once you makdish the third tree? Okay, anyway, that's sort of a side thing. Okay, so anyway, if you want to make Rav Shimon work according to Rav Akiva, that wouldn't work because according to Rav Akiva, you should have land going along with the trees, either according to the Rashbam, according to the Rashbam, as soon as you makdish the first or the second tree, there should be karka going along with them, or according to the other Rishonim, at least once you makdish the third tree. So that Braisa can't agree with Rabbi Akiva, and therefore if we say that the Braisa goes according to Rabbi Shimon, as we established yesterday, then it can't be that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Akiva. So obviously we must say that Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Rabbanan. This last Braisa that we quoted, which we said that Rabbi Shimon must be the author of that Braisa, he must be agreeing with the Rabbanan. namely, but not completely agreeing, but he says, he's saying, I'm sort of going a little bit beyond what you, Rabbanan, are saying. Namely, the Kasavar of Shimon Kehecha de Mercha Ba'ain Ra Mercha, namely, Rav Shimon might hold just as one, just as when you sell Ba'ain Ra, and you try to reserve for yourself whatever you can, such as a pass, which is like the Rabbanan, Makdish Nami, Ba'ain Ra, Makdish, or Mashiach Ara. So also, when you makdish, you also makdish bain ra. So okay, the Chachamim in the Mishnah said that not. They wanted to draw a distinction between moicher and makdish. They wanted to say moicher bain ra, but makdish is bain ra.
Meaning,
moicher would reserve himself land, but makdish would not. And the same thing, moicher would not include the burr, the gas, and makdish would. Rav Shimon would be saying, according to the Rabbanan, he's saying, I'm taking your idea about a moicher and applying it to makdish as well.
He's more Rabbanan than the Rabbanan,
so to speak, yeah. And therefore, Mashiach Ara. Therefore, he's keeping himself land.
Extreme right.
Now, come on.
Freedom. The righty.
Now, come on. Now.
Is that a righty or a lefty?
Come on, guys. No. No, come on. So the point is, evidently, therefore, Rav Shimon agrees with the Rabbanan's basic principle, Moicher Ba'ayin Ra Moicher. Well, then we're back to the question. And first of all, so now we have kind of a double question. Again, we have the question, first of all, who is Rav Huna going like? Because he can't be going, according to Rav Akiva, if Moicher Ba'ayin Ra Moicher, then you're not keeping yourself any land. He can't be going according to the Chachamim, because then we're saying that Rav Shimon agrees with the Chachamim and says and says Moicher Ba'ayin Ra Moicher and also Makdish Ba'ayin Ra Makdish.
Could you have changed his mind?
We have no reason to think that. So who is Rabbi Akiva saying? Not Rabbi Akiva. Who is Rav Huna saying his din like? It doesn't seem to work according to either Rabbi Akiva or the Chachamim.
Or Rav Shimon.
So the Gemara says, okay, well then in that case, if you're having that kasha, you anyway have a different kasha. Never mind Rav Huna's din. You have a contradiction between Rav Shimon's own two statements, where one he says that you makdish everything, including all the karka around the trees, therefore the trees themselves automatically become hektish, and the second one he didn't. By the way, that is how the Rashbam learns these words, Ve'el Akasha, Ho'el V'yonkin, Mr. Hektish. That's the second question. It's a question back. You're asking, what is Rav Huna going to do? I'm asking, never mind what Rav Huna is going to do. What are we going to do with Rav Shimon's own opinion? Tosfos says that's not really what it means. Tosfos learns that it's actually answering the question. It's actually the beginning of answering a question. As Yid often does, answering a question with another question. You have a problem with
Rav
Huna's
really
din. Yeah, of course. He asked rhetorically, do we really do that? So we have a question, what is Rav Huna going to do? We begin by answering the question that you evidently must have misunderstood Rav Shimon. You evidently must have misunderstood Rav Shimon's opinion, because the way you've understood it until now, you have a contradiction in what he himself says. And once you understand that you must have misunderstood Rav Shimon, then the way is clear to answering what Rav Huna is saying.
Did you misunderstand Mishnah and Brisa?
We misunderstood Rav Shimon. Ella Rav Shimon LeDivrayim Did Rabbanan. We have to answer like this. We have to answer the question, the contradiction between Rav Shimon's two statements, by saying that when Rav Shimon says in our Mishnah, when he says that you're machdish only the Chorav Amurkav and the Sadan Ashikma, the two trees, the two major kinds of trees over there, and when he said the sycamore and the Choru, and when he said in the Brice over there, the reason is because they're yoinkin Mistei Hekdish, because they get nourishment from Sidei Hekdish, that is Ludivim de Rabbanan Kamalu. He's saying all of that according to the Rabbanan. He's saying, I want to argue Rabbanan, according to your opinion, why don't you agree to these concepts? He's saying, I myself would hold, he says like this, Libby D, as far as I'm concerned, Ki Hecha de Mercha Ba'ayin Ra, Mercha Makdish Nami Ba'ayin Ra, Makdish, as far as I'm concerned, yes, I say that just as the Mercha sells Ba'ayin Ra and wants to keep whatever he can for himself, so the Makdish is Makdish Ba'ayin Ra, V'shiyurim Mishayir, and therefore he's keeping himself land.
They're contradicting themselves.
You seem to be inconsistent in what you're saying. Myself, no, wait. He's saying like this. Myself, I'm being consistent, and I'm saying when you're makdish, you're not makdish anything more than what you need to at all. Therefore, you're makdish trees, you're not automatically makdish any land with them. You're makdish three trees. Therefore, you're makdish trees. You're not automatically being makdish any land with them. Which means, in other words, therefore, when you makdish, therefore, when they makdish the field, you're not makdish the chor of a murkav and the sadla shikma. And right, well, that's right. When you makdish, and we're saying we do this. Reb Shimon said, why is that? Because yoinkin mistay hektish. He's not saying that's my opinion. As far as I'm concerned, no. When you makdish a field, you do reserve for yourself the area that the chorov or the sadan get their nourishment from, and therefore they will not become hektish. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm being consistent in that. But he says, L'ditchu. But according to you, Rabbanan, but according to you, fine, you're saying, you want to say that, but you're makdish a little more, but you're makdish more b'ayin yofa than that you want to say that you're makdish b'ayin yofa as opposed to moicher, fine, that's a valid opinion. You're entitled to say that a makdish is more makdish b'ayin yofa, but still, don't, how far are you going to go with that? Are you going to go so far with it? Are you going to go so far with it as to say that you're including a burr or a gas or whatever, which are not even really part of the field? And you're going to go so far with it as to say that you're makdish. So fine. I'll agree. In other words, he says, I'll agree. You have a valid point. Let's say to say that the chorov and the sadam will be included. Why? Because you'll say, fine. Just like Rabbi Akiva is saying by moicher that he doesn't reserve himself a path. You'll also say when you makdish the field, you're not reserving any land around the trees. Therefore, the trees automatically become hektish because they're yoinkin to stay hektish. Me, I don't hold of that myself, but fine. You're entitled to your opinion on that. But why on earth are you saying that the bur, the gas, or the shovach are included as well, which are not even part of the field, and they don't get any nourishment from the field? Why should those be included? How far are you going with this mocha b'ayin yopa, with this makdish b'ayin yopa business?
So that's the difference between the Chachamim.
That's the difference between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon.
Reb Shimon would not include the.
Reb Shimon wouldn't include any of the five things. He wouldn't include the bur, the gas, the shovach, or the chorov, or the sadan. He would say the bur, the gas, and the shovach are not even part of the field. The chorov, they have nothing to do with the field. The chorov and the sadan. The sycamore. When you makdish the field, you're implicitly keeping yourself enough land that they will not be taking nourishment from a field of hektish, so that the trees will not become hektish. That's my opinion. You, Rabbanan, don't agree with that business about the strip of land. Fine. Okay, so I can understand why you'd say that the sadan and the chor will become hektish. Why on earth should the bur and the drus and the gas become hektish? Yeah. That's what it is. And the answer is, Vamri Rabbanan, Loshna, the Rabbanan say, we don't see a distinction in that. We don't consider that to be a valid distinction. They can say.
Loshna, doesn't that mean, I used to think that Loshna means that since we're going to say that the tree goes along with it.
That's like plug you're thinking about. That's like plug.
Loshna
means there's no difference. There's no difference. Same thing. Meaning, well, look in Rashbam, Va'am Yilor Rabban and Loishna, about the middle of the narrow lines in the Rashbam, right across Akhar Tabach. He says, Koloma, Loichoshu Ledvara, the Chachamim are not concerned about this distinction that Rav Shimon wants to make. The Chachamim, we have Ichdish as Kolom, they just say he's Makdish all of them. All five things. So they're comparing it to giving a gift. Of course, but when it comes to hektish, that's the thing. Reb Shimon is saying, you want to say ayin yofa by hektish, but you shouldn't be going that far with it. But they're saying, no, it's like nois and matana. You're giving or you're being maktish by ayin yofa, kol mashav asoda, anything which is present in the field, kehoyo v'shayach gaved asoda purta, because it has at least some loose connection with the field. It's located there in the field, and it's a permanent fixture.
So they're more than Rabbi Akiva.
No, Rabbi Akiva would also say. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't say you murcher the burr or the gas or whatever. He would say you murcher the derech to them.
But he would also say
that by matana you're more ayin yofa than you are by murcher. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees there's more ayin yofa by murcher or hektish than there is by mechira.
Right, but it's still ayin yofa for everything, and the same ayin ra for everything, except the bur and the gas and the sheva, right?
So the Rabbanan, again, the Rabbanan would say you're selling the field, then you're not including the burr or the gas.
Right.
Rabbi Akiva agrees.
Sure.
Or the Sheva. Rabbi Akiva agrees with that. Right.
And Rabbi Shimon said no.
And Rabbi Shimon is saying actually you're not including any of those either. The question comes when you're coming to being makdish it, or giving it as a gift,
right,
where the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva say you're including everything, and Rabbi Shimon is saying that you're not including them. But he would say you're not including any of them. What?
By gift too, did it?
Mechura, I mean, by Hekdesh, certainly, but the Rashbam is using the expression over here, Demagamalev, Noisim Latana, Shinoisim Amakdesh, Ba'in Yopa, Komasha Basada. So it sounds like we're assuming that whatever standards apply to Hekdesh also apply to Matana. Maybe not, though. That could be, okay.
What?
I don't know. That maybe only the Rabbanon would say that Hekdesh is like a Matana. Maybe Rabbi Shimon would hold differently. It's possible. Be that as it may, leaving aside Matana, fine. Forget about the question of Matana. The point is, Rabbi Shimon would say none of the things are included, not the trees and not the burr or the gas or what have you.
Yeah.
He's saying that.
Yeah, that we get.
Right. The Rabbanon are saying all of them are included, and Rabbi Shimon is saying, I don't understand why you're saying all of them are included when you should be just drawing a distinction between the trees, which are Yonik, Mikarka, Hekdesh, versus the burr and the dirt, which are versus the burr and the gas, which are not. And the Rabbanon say we don't consider that to be a valid distinction. We're not saying it on the basis that they're yonik misdei hekdesh, that they're getting nourished from a field.
Right.
We're just saying you're including in the field everything, all the fixtures in the field. Well, in that case, the trees are just as much fixtures as the burr and the gas, or vice versa, the burr and the gas.
All should be hekdesh.
And all of them are going to be hekdesh.
And
so Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon are very similar in this instance of Matana and
right, so that's the thing.
We're not talking about Matana.
No, we're talking in the far Hekdesh. Right, so that's the thing. Rabbi Akiva says his din as far as Moicher. The Rabbanon disagree with him on Moicher, but they agree with him as far as Hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with both. Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with all of them as far as Hekdesh. The bottom line is, therefore,
now,
that
this is only according to the Tosfos.
No, this is according to everybody. This is what the Gemara is saying. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you lost me there.
I was saying that Tosfos was explaining the question. Elva Elakasha Hilva Yonkin Misdei Hekdesh. They were just explaining that particular question.
What did
he mean? Are we asking a separate question, or are we making a statement that will lead us to an answer? Yeah. But anyway, no. Well, it's okay. But anyway, so the point is, therefore, what do we come out with? We come out that Rav Shimon Taka does not agree with Rav Akiva. But what that means, in turn, is since the Chachamim and Rav Akiva do hold the same way as far as Hekdesh, and they do basically hold the same way as far as Nois and Matana either, also, the question really is only what they hold as far as Moicher, then we can say that Rav Huna's original statement, that when you're selling the field but keeping yourself two trees, that you're keeping yourself Kalka as well, that will work according to Rav Akiva as well. Which is what we said at the beginning of the sugya as well. We said that, and then we thought that doesn't work because of the problem with Rav Shimon's opinion. Now that we've established that Rav Shimon's opinion is different than what we thought originally, that he's not saying you were makdish the chor over the sadan, that you rather he would hold you keeping those for yourself when you're being makdish, and therefore he's being consistent with the other braisa, which goes according to Rav Shimon and says that when you makdish one or two trees, there's no land along with them. Once we have that out of the way, then we're able to say very simply that Rav Huna's din works according to the other two opinions, according to the Rabbanon and according to Rav Akiva. For the reason that we said at the beginning, according to the Rabbanon, because anyway, Mocha b'ayin ra, Mocha, and therefore you're selling the minimum possible. Therefore, of course, you're going to reserve yourself your kaka. And according to Rabbi Akiva, also, for the reason that we said there, because even though Mocha b'ayin yapa Mocha, you also don't want to lose your right to have the trees there altogether. You want to have the ability to replant them eventually, or even to be able to have them continue to grow there. And therefore, you're going to keep that kaka.
And it's not considered that I'm...
Rabbi Akiva would say Mocha b'ayin yapa Mocha, but not so much as to prevent yourself. It's one thing you would say, for example, Rabbi Akiva would say Mocha b'ayin yapa Mocha, fine, you're not keeping yourself a path to your gas or your burr. If you want to use them, you're going to have to buy it. Trees, first of all, we said there's a svara, because the other guy is going to have more of an objection to you having trees there. He's going to say, trees weaken my land. If you don't even have a path to them, get them out of here. Or at least if they die, you're not allowed to replant them. Of necessity, therefore, even Rabbi Akiva is going to have to say, that's what we said at the beginning, yesterday, that therefore Rabbi Akiva, of necessity, is still going to have to say that you would keep yourself cut there in that case, to go with the two trees, in order to establish that you have permanent rights to those trees.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, to replant, and also according to Tosfos over there, even to keep the trees growing there in the first place. Yeah. So the bottom line is we have been able to fancy everything. We have been able to make Rav Huna's din work. As we thought originally it only works according to the Chachamim. It turns out it works according to Rabbi Akiva as well. We have been able to work out what Rav Shimon's opinion is. He's not contradicting himself by saying on the one hand that the trees, that there's no land around the trees left for yourself, therefore they become hektish, and on the other hand saying you makdish one or two trees, no land goes along with them, because that first thing was only what he would argue that Abanan should say, and the other one is his own independent opinion. And therefore that's that. So we've covered all our bases. Okay. New topic. Well, slightly, not totally new topic, but a segueing into another concept. Okay, well, actually, we're still on that topic, rather. Sorry. Okay. V'mayu kimtzala, k'rav Shimon. Okay, let's go back to the braisa that we had on Amud Aleph, where we said you were makdish one or two trees, or even you were makdish three trees one after the other. There was no karka with them, and therefore, eventually, if you are makdish the karka, then the karka and the trees are considered two separate entities. When it comes to being poyed to the karka, you'll be poyed at the rate it says in the Torah, zerasarim, chormasarim, v'chamishim shekel kesef, regardless of the actual market value of the land, whereas the trees you'll buy from hektish at their market value. We said that that braisa goes according to Rav Shimon. Now, the problem with that is, v'mayu kimtzala k'rav Shimon. So what did we figure out? We said that braisa has to be according to Rav Shimon, because we said that it can't seem to work according to either the Rabbanon or Rav Akiva.
The trees.
That if you makdish trees, one or two trees, karka does not go along with them automatically. And even when you makdish the third tree after the other two, karka does not automatically go with them. And furthermore, here's another, the key detail that was in that braisa, which we're going to deal with in our Gemara over here. The key detail we talked about it in the braisa, we didn't really get into it in detail, is the idea. So you will makdish the one tree, second tree, third tree. Later on, you will makdish the karka that those trees stand on. We said the karka and the trees are now considered two separate entities, as opposed to if it had been the other way around. If you were makdish the three trees and at the same time and automatically karka went with them, then the trees would be toffled to the karka, and when you'd be poyed to the karka, when you'd be buying back the karka at the rate of 50 shekel from now till Yovel, then you would be including the trees in it as well. We're going to see in our Gemara.
On whether or not you makdish the trees first or the karka.
Or the karka first. We're going to see. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. That seems to not fit with Rav Shimon's opinion, as we find it out. Therefore, it seems that braisa can't work according to Rav Shimon. So, Ema Sefer, let's look at the next part of the braisa. V'loyod, the braisa continues not only that, even if you will makdish the trees, one, then two, then three, and then you will makdish the karka that they stand on. We said that when you poida them, the trees and the karka are considered two separate entities. You poida the trees at their fair market value.
Because in different steps, right?
So you poida the trees at their market value. And then as far as the land, you poyed it at the rate that it says in the Torah, where 50 shekel for each base kor if it's the right after Yovel. The problem with that is the Rav Shimon lays a boss opinion. If you're gonna say that Bryce says according to Rav Shimon, he wouldn't hold of that distinction. He would say that you always look at what the situation is when they are being redeemed. Right now you have the karka and the trees are hektish. He wouldn't say that you consider that you look which one came first, trees or karka.
Why would it make a difference?
We will see. We will see that.
Shimon, hektish, so
that's the point. That's what Rav Shimon says. You don't look at how they were first made hektish. You look at how they are now. Right now you have karka, which is hektish, trees that are on it which are hektish. Doesn't matter what order those events took place in. You put to them all together, meaning you put to the land, and automatically the trees go with it. Therefore, so Lazel Boss opinion, according to Rav Shimon, you should be going according to the situation when the land is being redeemed. The Nifriku Agavarayu, and then the trees will be redeemed along with the land, meaning not with a separate amount of money. Why do we see that? Because as a matter of fact, we find that Rav Shimon, in a different case, follows the situation as it was at the time of the Pidyon rather than how it was at the time of the Hekish. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa as follows. Minayin l'keach sadam ha'avid. Now, as a little bit of background, we talked yesterday about this thing of Sdei Achuza, that if you have a field that you inherited from your ancestors and you makdish it, then the Torah gives a fixed value for it, Zerachoy Masorim. But you have, then the Torah continues with another case, which is if you makdish a field that you bought from somebody else. Now, that field is eventually going to return to the other guy in Yovel. you don't have the ability to be makdish permanently. It doesn't belong to you permanently. Therefore, if you're makdish such a field, the day mikneh it's called, and later on you want to be poydeh, you don't do the zerah chayim asarid and b'chamishim shekel kesef business. Instead, you figure out the actual market value of it and pay that to makdish.
Before the
well, yeah, and if Yovel comes and it wasn't redeemed from Hekdesh, it goes back to the original order. Yeah. So, suppose then that a person buys a field from his father. So this is a field which eventually he might well have inherited from his father after his father died. Like this, he bought it from his father while his father was alive, the Hekdesha. He was Makdish that field. Later on, his father dies. So now what is it? It's considered a Sdei Mikneh. Or is it considered a Sdei Achuzah? Which set of rules does it follow? That's what we have to figure out. Wait. How do we know that it is considered like a Sdei Achuzah in the sense that you have the Selo Punya in the fixed amount per year rather than looking at the actual market value, and also in the sense that it won't return in Yovel to you if you weren't poded by Yovel? How do we know that? How do we know you don't consider it a Sdei Mikneh? L'chora, he did buy it. Talmud Loimah, v'im a Sdei Mikneh, se asher loim is Sdei Achuzah. But when the Torah introduces the concept of Sdei Mikneh, it says, if it's a Sdei Mikneh, which is not from his Sdei Achuzah. Which means, now those words are extra, obviously, Sdei Mikneh is not
from this word.
It's in Parshas Noch Kosei. Yeah, it's in the Torah. Meaning, if the field which he purchased, asher loimis de'achuzase, which is not from the field of his inheritance, yakdish l'ashem, then it's redundant. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Meaning, it teaches us sada she'en ru'uya li'is de'achuzah. That comes to teach us that the din of sdei mikneh only applies to a field which is never capable of becoming a sdei achuzah. It's not something which you would have ended up inheriting. You went and bought it from some third party. Who, when he died, you weren't going to be inheriting from him.
It's hard to believe that a field that you bought from your father becomes a Sdei Achuzah.
But it does, because now your father, because the redundancy in the pasuk, and now the father is dead at the point. Now the inheritance takes place.
But he bought that field.
Doesn't matter. What Yotzazu liyis? We're actually going to see that. The machlokes tanaim. Wait, Yotzazu shiruy liyis Sdei Achuzah. So that comes to exclude a case like this, where the field is capable of being a Sdei Achuzah. Had he not bought it, he would have inherited it in a normal way. Even though he bought it, it's still capable of having been a Sdei Achuzah. Therefore, the Torah, the extra words in the Torah, teach us that yes, it becomes a Sdei Achuzah after all, and therefore it has those things.
And therefore, the value, the pricing.
So therefore, the pricing goes according to the pricing of a Sdei Achuzah. A sella and punyan per year, not whatever the market value is. No, yeah, the 50 shkalim total for 49 years, right, rather than the actual market value. Divir Rabbi Yehuda v'Rav Shimon, and that is according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Yes, Rabbi Meir says, no, we learn the pasuk differently. Minayim l'lekeach sodom avu v'mes avu v'achak ha'tikvish. No, the case has to be as follows. What if you bought the field, then your father died, then you were makdish the field after the father died? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's scenario is you were makdish it before he died, and then he died. And by the way, the Rashbam points out they would hold that taka the same din would apply. The same din would apply according to them regardless what came first, the hektish or the father's death. As long as it's capable of being a Sdei Achuzah, it eventually becomes a Sdei Achuzah, regardless whether the hektish came first or the death came first. Rabbi Meir is arguing that. Only if the lekeach sodom aviv, you first bought the field, umes aviv v'achak ha'hikdish, your father died, and only then you were makdish it, after he died, and after, in other words, it was potentially a Sdei Achuzah, after it actually became a Sdei Achuzah, because now your father died, and now it becomes part of the inheritance.
If you're from the same shade, it could be a Sdei Achuzah.
You are, so by definition, a father and son are from the same shade.
Two different families from the same shade.
I don't understand. A father and a son are going to be from the same family.
Yeah, but if it's two different families from the same shade, then does that also count as Sdei Achuzah?
The father? It's not a father.
I'm not following. I mean, we're going to learn. When we learn in the eighth parak about the dinim of Yerusha, you inherit from your father. You could inherit from your own son if he died childless. Rahman al-Fan, you could inherit it from your brothers, etc. But you're always from the same shevet. Exactly. If you bought the field, then the father died, then you were makdish it, the mayor says, minayin shetei lefon of Sdei Achuzah. How do we know that only then does it count as a Sdei Achuzah? And he uses the same positive, Talmud Loimah, v'im a Sdei Mikneh, asher loim a Sdei Achuzah. Not like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon want to say a field which is capable of having become a Sdei Achuza. No, it only works. It only happens when it's a field that actually is a Sdei Achuza, where now the father died, and therefore it became a Sdei Achuza, and only then were you makdish. He said, after having been sold, yeah.
That's my question. How could it be?
But because now it becomes, now it is a Sdei Achuza, because now it is, now, okay, so the Rashbam says the reason is, let's say his father had not died, it would return to his father in Yovel. And eventually, when his father dies, he will inherit it. Therefore, it is a Sdei Achuza in that sense. He bought it, but if his father had survived until Yovel, his father would have got it back, and then he would have inherited it.
That's the point.
Not the potential. That's the shipment of Meir is saying, never mind potential. The fact is, this is a Sdei Achuza, because you are only entitled to hold on to it until Yovel. As it is, Taka, your father died, and... Yeah, as it is, in the event your father died before Yovel, and therefore, as a matter of course, it never goes back to him for you to inherit it anyway. But if he had lived till Yovel, he would have. But that's still different than Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's case, where you were makdish it while the father was still alive, where then it didn't even become a Sdei Achuza. While it didn't even become a Sdei Achuza, because what happens again, a Sdei Achuza, what happens is if you makdish a Sdei Achuza and somebody else buys it from Hekdish, it doesn't return to the original owner in that case. So therefore, the only way that this is potentially a Sdei Achuza is if the father had died and you inherited it before you were makdish it, which you weren't in their scenario, and yet they say it still is considered a Sdei Achuza. Rav Meir is saying, no, never mind that. Only in a case where the hektish came after the death, at the time he died, it was in your hand. But if he had lived till Yovel, it would have gone back to him, and then you would have inherited it. Yeah, no hektish was involved yet. Only then, when you're makdish, is it considered a Sdei Achuza. Yotzazushi Sdei Achuza, as opposed to this one, which is a Sdei Achuza, because it will eventually return to the father if he lives till Yovel. The Ilu Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whereas, so it comes out, what are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon saying in answer to that? They're saying, they would argue that no, if the father died first, and therefore you inherited it from him, and then you were makdish it, they would say, you don't even need a pasuk to teach us that in that case it's considered a Sdei Achuza. That's obvious, they would say. They would say you need a pasuk to teach us that if you were makdish it and then the father died, that then it's still considered a Sdei Achuza. That's what they're saying. In other words, this case that you, the mayor, are saying is what the pasuk is talking about. We hold that such an obvious case that it would be a Sdei Achuza, you don't even need a pasuk for it. The pasuk comes to teach us the less obvious case. Well, menolahu. We have to ask, where are they getting that from? Where are they getting that din from? E mehaikra, are they getting it from this very pasuk that Rameyer used? Okay, maybe you should darshan it like Rameyer darshaned it. Who says we should darshan it like they did? So they have to be getting it from some other source. Ela lav mishum da azli basa pidyon. Evidently, the reason must be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say you don't look at the situation when the field was declared hektish, whether the father was alive or not. You look at the situation now when you want to buy it back from hektish, by which time the father is dead. Therefore, it doesn't matter what the order was, whether the father died and then you were makdish it, or whether you were makdish it and then the father died. Either way, the same rules would apply. Well, returning to our case over here, if you were makdish trees and then karka, or karka and including with, if you were makdish trees and later on you were makdish karka, or if you were makdish trees and karka together, Rav Shimon should say there is no distinction. It should go according to Shas Pidyon. How can that braisa from Amud Aleph work according to Rav Shimon? Amud Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak answers to that no. No, you could answer that as a matter of fact, no. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are not saying the general rule that you always go according to Pidyon, that you always ignore the order of things and just look at the current situation when it comes to redeeming from Hekdesh. No, they don't say that as a general rule. Why are they arguing with Rabbi Meir? What's their basis for their machlokas with Rabbi Meir in the case of buying the field from your father, etc.? The reason is the difference is, the reason why they're arguing with Rav Meir is because they said, we found another pasuk, or not another pasuk, we found another detail in this pasuk which we feel needs to be darshaned. Namely, they argue in Cain, Rav Meir, what are you saying that you're learning it from the extra words in the pasuk, asher lo yisdeach uzasa? Fine, but they argue. But if that's all the pasuk meant, The pasuk could have left out the word, the second word, misdeh. The imes de miknase, if it's a field that he bought, asher loy achuzase, which is not his inheritance, which is not his ancestral inheritance, and leave out the word misdeh. Ina misdeh achuzase. Or fine, you could argue since it started with sdeh, then the pasuk also could sdeh miknase, then it wants to continue with sdeh achuzase. Fine, it could have said asher loy sdeh achuzase. That is not his ancestral field. My asher loy misdeh achuzase. Why, within that extra phrase itself, you have an extra word, or at least an extra letter over there? No, because even Lashon B'nei Adam would be. If it's a field that he bought, asher loy sdeh achuzase, which is not his ancestral field. Misdeh achuzase, they argue, has to teach us something extra.
So they could have been something else.
So in other words, they're saying you, the mayor, are only focusing on the fact that you have an extra clause in the pasuk. We're point, and therefore you're learning a din from it. We're arguing not only you have that extra clause, but within that extra clause itself, you have an extra word or an extra letter. That also needs to be darshan. That can teach us another din. Namely, es she'ena ru'uya lis de'achuzah, which means they say that the pasuk is teaching us not only that it applies to a field which eventually does become a de'achuzah, namely your case for mayor where the father died and then where the father died and then you inherited it and then you were makdishah. But even our case, which is that where it would have eventually become a sdeach hozeh had it not been for the hekdesh, namely where you were makdishit and then the father died. Just as usher really a sdeach hozeh, as opposed to the, in this case where it's capable, it would have eventually become a sdeach hozeh if it hadn't been for the purchase and the hekdesh. Therefore, the Torah is being mamayit and saying, even though you bought it, it's not considered a sdeh mikneh because eventually, in the normal course of events, it would have become a sdeh, could conceivably have become a sdeh achuzah.
So they're saying
only in that particular case, because we have a gzeiras hakasu, but not ordinarily. Ordinarily, they would say the order of things does matter. Well, fine. When the Braita said that the order of things matters, as far as being makdish the trees and later the karka versus the karka together with the trees, fine, that can work, according to Reb Shimon. It's not contradiction. It's not contradicted by that case from Eretz.
So when you say achuzase comes to teach you that it's only in one.
The Rashbam explains the mem comes to teach us she'ena miktas de'achuzah. There's not even any possibility of it having been a de'achuzah.
Because
in a normal case, in other words, you buy a field from some third party, and then later on you makdish it. Then it's a sdeh mikneh. The rules apply to it of sdeh mikneh. When you poideh it, you poideh it at its fair market value, and it returns to the original owner in yovel. But if it's misdeh achuzah, if there was any potential that it could eventually have become a sdeh achuzah, meaning if it hadn't been, such as in the case where you bought it from your father, where you would have, in the normal course of events, inherited it from him after he passed away, then that's even though in this case you made it a sdeh mikneh by buying it from him, it doesn't become a sdeh mikneh. It remains a sdeh achuzah. With all the rules that apply.
The basic case of sdeh achuzah means that I own the field that I inherited from my father.
Right.
I donate it to Hektish.
Mm-hmm.
In order to pay this, I only have to pay a limited amount.
I pay the seller a punyan per year. It's not only, by the way. I mean, it really depends. If it's a really good quality field, you're getting a bargain. If it's a poor quality field, you're paying a lot extra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So in other words, I donate the field. What happens to it then? Do they sell it?
So what happens is that Hektish holds on to it, and they're going to try to sell it. Yeah, I mean, Hektish doesn't particularly need the field necessarily. They want the money. So therefore, either you, the original owner, go and buy it back from them, and we'll learn when a couple of years from now, Be'ez Hashem, when we learn the Sefer Erchin, we will learn actually that the preference is for the owner to buy it back because then he pays a choymish. He pays an extra 20% to Hektish. So Hektish ends up gaining a lot from it. I don't remember if he paid Chlemesh. Maybe not.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember about that.
I don't
either.
Remember all the way either.
Yeah.
But still, you could pay a lot less with Sdeh.
It could be a lot less or it could be a lot more, depending, but whatever.
Well,
if you sold Ziburis, then you're going to be overpaying a lot. If you sold Idis, you're underpaying, yeah. Anyway, that's all Sdeh Achuzah. What happens if you don't buy it back from Hektish? If somebody else buys it from Hektish, then what happens is, in Yovel, it doesn't return to you, the original owner, or for that matter, if it's still in the hands of Hektish at the time of Yovel, then it goes to the Kohanim who are on duty, who their Mishmah comes out when Yom Kippur of Yovel takes place.
Coming back, though, you wanted to get that Mishmah for Yom Kippur, you would get it last year.
It's interesting. There's some place, I think there may be a Yerushalmi, that says that actually it worked out. The number of mishmarot was deliberately set at 24, one of the reasons being so that it never happened that the same mishmar ended up getting a Sdei Achuza twice. Each 50 years or 49 years or whatever, there would be a different mishmar on duty come Yom Kippur. Yeah.
Coming back to Mishdei Achuzase,
yeah.
So that excludes the case where it would never be.
It says like this: only if the field could never have become a Sdei Achuza is it a Sdei Mishmar. If there's any possibility it ever could have become a Sdei Achuza, it excludes any case where it could potentially have become a Sdei Achuza, where then it is considered a Sdei Achuza.
And these cases include
when a person bought it from his father, then you were makdish it while the father was alive, right. And then he passed away. It also includes the case where you bought it from him, he passed away, and then you were makdish it. Either way, since it was something that potentially could have become a Sdei Achuza, then that's what it's considered, a Sdei Achuza.
So it's a field that has no relation to your father, basically.
Only then would it be a Sdei Mikneh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's for the...
That's a coincidence of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. A coincidence of Meir, we don't look at potentialities, we look at actualities. If this field would actually have been something that would have that is going to be in your father's hands come Yovel, if he's alive at the time, and then it returns to him, and then eventually you would inherit it from him.
That's
then it's a Sdei Achuza. Otherwise, not. If you mak the shit before he passes away, which then it's not in his hand, then it's not something that would have come to his hands come Yovel. Then nothing happens. Then it's not a Sdei Achuza. All right. Okay. So now we've fully clarified what Rav Shimon's opinion is, and we found out, and we figured out that after all the halacha is as far as this last braita, the halacha is like Rav Meir, I think. I think so.
Don't we go after the last the discussion?
Yeah, but we were just discussing back and forth what we say over here. We didn't say who the halacha is like. I believe the halacha is like Rav Meir. I'm not sure about that though. Okay.
That we look at how it is now,
not at the potentialities. Okay. Amud Ravuna. Chorav Amurka Vesadana Shikma. Ravuna says you should know this grafted carob tree that we've been talking about all this time, and this cropped sycamore tree that we've been talking about all this time. Turtus Ilonola but Turtus Kalkaola. It has, in certain senses, the din of a tree, and in certain senses, the din of karka. It has the dinim of a tree in the sense the heich de akvish zavin shnei ilonis v'hai. Suppose a person was makdish or sold two trees as well as this one. Now remember, once you sell or makdish three trees, automatically karka goes with it. So, then that person is entitled to karka. We've been saying all this time that the Chorav Amurkav and the Sadan HaShikma are considered almost like a field of their own. Nevertheless, we don't say that if he sold somebody two regular trees plus this, then it should be considered like he sold them two regular trees plus a field, and the two regular trees don't entitle him to karka. No, this is a tree after all. Therefore, karka goes with it.
So two regular trees.
Two regular trees plus the Chorav Amurkav or the Sadan HaShikma, yeah. Then he's still entitled. He's entitled to karka. Turtus karka of the lemon daven agavara, and it has the dinim of karka in the sense, like we said in the Mishnah, that it's not sold together with the field. Now that last part isn't really a chiddush. The Mishnah told us that. He's mentioning it just to complete the matter. The first part is the real chiddush. You would have thought, since a Chorav Amurkav and a Sadan HaShikma are considered almost like a separate field, you would think if you sold two trees plus that, it shouldn't be considered three trees. No, that's what he's telling us that it is. I guess you could say that, but the point is more that in one way it's considered like karka, and in the other way it's considered like a tree. That's your bonus point. And since we mentioned that, the Gemara mentions another example like that, where we have something which is in some ways like one thing and in some ways like a different thing, namely the Amar Avuna. Now, we have the Torah tells us the mitzvah of shikha. If you forgot if you forgot grain in the field, whether you're talking about stalks of grain that you forgot to harvest or whether we're talking about bundles of grain that you forgot to pick up, then they have to be left for the poor people. The din is...
You're going to, that applies to the shikar and the... So these two trees?
No, we're not talking about trees. Wait, no, we're talking about different din. Now we're talking about different din. We're only mentioning it because of the similarity, just like we're saying that these two trees are in some ways like a tree and in some ways like karaka. The same way we're going to say a different din where you have something which in some ways is like one thing and in some ways like the opposite. So the din is, if you forget bundles of grain in the field, then they're considered shikha. You have to leave them for the poor people.
Bundles. Loose.
Well, it can be loose stalks, but it can also be bundles. However, there's two exceptions. Well, there's a number of exceptions to that. One of them is it only applies if you forgot one or two bundles. If you forget three or more, then they're not shikha.
What are they?
Then it's not considered shikha. You're allowed to keep it. No, it's number one character. You're allowed to keep them. It's just like any other produce in the field. You're allowed to keep it.
It's yours.
The Rashbam explains that the reason is because the Torah tells us for shachta oimer basadeh, if you forget a sheaf of grain in the field, then you have to leave it for the poor people. No, the point is, rather, if you have three of them together, it's not really a sheaf, it's not really a bundle of grain anymore, it's like a stack of grain already. It's a goddish, it's a stack of grain. And a sheaf means a bundle of grain. An omer means a bundle of grain, but three of them together is not really small enough to be considered bundles anymore, that's already considered a heap of grain. Also, the Rashbam says another reason is because the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to return lakachta, to take it. So it implies something which you could pick up all at once. If you have three bundles, you wouldn't be able to pick them up all at once. It would be too heavy. The Rambam brings a different limud for it, which comes from the Yerushalmi. The Pasuk says you have to leave it for the ger. What does it say? You have to leave it for the ger and for the oni, implying two. One for the ger, one for the oni. But if you leave three already, then you don't have to leave it for them. Okay. Whatever it is, that's the din. That if you forget three of them together, then they're not shikha. Another din is also.
Let me ask you a question. If they choose with them separately in one, so you're not allowed to put them together and keep them?
No, once you forgot the two, then that's it. They're gone.
You're not allowed to assemble with
another
one that you forgot?
No. Once you forgot them, you forgot them. What's considered forgotten?
You got three in different places.
No, we're talking about three all together.
But you're allowed to say, I'm not forgetting what the workers forgot.
Yeah, we learned that in Bava Metzia, for example. Yeah, that's true. Right. That's the yes. No. It's a valid point to bring up, but it's a side point. But if you have three bundles lying together, if you have three bundles lying together and you forgot all of them, not shikha. That's din number one that's important for our Gemara. Din number two that's important for our Gemara is if you have one single bundle which is of a certain minimum size, which is two sa'ah or more, then that's also not considered shikha. One bundle of at least two sa'ah.
That's a
very big bundle, exactly. If you have a bundle of grain that is at least two sa' in size, turdas omer olive, turdas godish olive. On the one hand, it has the dinim of a bundle. On the other hand, it has the dinim of a pile of grain. Turdas omer olive, it has the dinim of a bundle in the sense the shnei omerim shikha shnayim vahu enan shikha. In the sense that if you have two regular size bundles of less than two sa' that were forgotten together with this big giant one, all three of them will join together and be considered three bundles, and none of them will be shikha.
Even though one of them is
much larger than the other two.
Right.
Torah's godish olav, and it also has a dinim of a pile of grain. That's not omashiyesh b'sotayim shakay in a shikha, because the Mishnah says there in Peah that if you have a bundle that size that was forgotten all by itself without any other ones with it, it's also not shikha. Why? Because then it's not considered a bundle anymore. A bundle that big is not considered a bundle. It's considered a pile. So that's again the same way. That's if it has to sign. The reason why we're bringing that in is, again, the same kind of thing. The same way as the trees have a hybrid din, they're like a tree but like character. The same way this oversized bundle has dinim like a bundle, but it has dinim like a stack.
Mamas like a tree.
Let's see if we get five bundles, then are you allowed to take all of them or only three?
Yes, you're allowed to take all of them.
In that case, it's pretty obvious that...
No, because the fact is this is one bundle. It may be a very large bundle, but it's still one single bundle.
No, the other or one where all three of them.
That's what I'm saying. You're allowed to take all three of them, because you have three bundles over here. Two of them are small, and this one is not really a bundle at all. It's just a stack of grain. But for this purpose, it's not a stack of grain. It's another bundle.
stack of grain together with...
No, it's a bundle, but it's a bundle, and therefore, if you were to forget a stack of grain next to two other bundles, the two bundles would be shitful. The stack wouldn't. But because this is an actual stack, because it's a bundle, therefore it protects the other two. Amar Rav Abba Rav Chana, Amar Shlomish. Chorov HaMurkav, so you see, we're not just going to have Rav Abba Rav Chana, he's going to be telling us interesting stories tomorrow. He also teaches us this. Amar Rav Abba Rav Chana, Amar Shlomish. Chorov HaMurkav, Sadan HaShik, Mabonim, Machloikas Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi, Rabbanan. When it comes to the Chorov HaMurkav and the Sadan HaShikma, whether when you makdish the field, whether they're included or not, we come to the machlokes of Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi, and the Rabbanan. Again, where the Rabbanan would say that they're included in the field, as we discussed earlier, and Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi would be saying that not. Okay, the question is, v'leim machlokes Rav Shimon, Rav Rabbanan, why are we bringing in Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi? Say that it means, say, clarify that means that that's the machlokes of Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. Why are you bringing in Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi, who we haven't even met in the sugya so far? And then it would clarify. We just had this whole discussion breaking our heads of the question of what Rav Shimon holds in this. If Rish Lakish were to tell us explicitly that in a case like that, you have the machlokes of Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan, then it would have clarified that Rav Shimon adults they're not included, and that Rabbanan holds the word. We could have saved ourselves all the trouble. The answer is fine. But Hakamash Malan did a Menachem Rav Yosi Kirav Shimon Tzirulei. Fine. But on the other hand, Rish Lakish wanted to tell us the bigger chiddush. He wanted to tell us, you should know that Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi holds like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's opinion, Rav Shimon himself, you can figure it out, as we just did in the whole previous sugya where we broke our teeth over it and eventually figured out what Rav Shimon holds. Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi's opinion, we would have had no way of knowing without Rish Lakish telling us. Therefore, he felt it more important to tell us that fact, to tell us that Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi holds like Rav Shimon.
Rav Menachem, why do we care? Who is he?
Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi, he's one of the Tanoim. Rav Shlakish had learned from his Rebbeim that Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi holds like Rav Shimon. Rav Shlakish didn't just want to tell us the halacha is like Rav Shimon, because that would be the easy way out. Then we would just know the halacha is like him. We'd understand what that he argues with the Chachamim, and we wouldn't have had the whole previous discussion. Instead, he prefers to tell us an opinion that we didn't even know existed, and to tell us that opinion agrees with Rav Shimon, and in turn agrees with the opinion of Rav Shimon, not the halacha. The halacha is like the Chachamim. But that opinion agrees with Rav Shimon's opinion as we worked it. The halacha is like the Chachamim. No, sorry, I didn't say that. I said that Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi holds like Rav Shimon. We want to be informed that you should know what Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi's opinion on this subject is.
The halacha regarding which?
As far as when you makdish the field, whether you makdish the tree or not, the Chorav HaMurkav and the Sadna Shikma, the halacha is like the Chachamim, not like Rav Shimon. Like the Chachamim.
Did I said
that mistakenly? No, as far as the machlokes of selling, whether it's like Rav Akiva or the Chachamim, there the halacha is like Rav Akiva. But as far as Makdish, the halacha is like the Chachamim. However, Rish Lakish still wanted to inform us. He didn't just want to tell us what Rav Shimon's opinion is. He wanted to tell us what Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi's opinion is, and expect us to work out for ourselves, as we did, what Rav Shimon's opinion is. And now that we know that, then we know that Rav Menachem, Rav Yosi agrees with Rav Shimon. Hadron Allah Moshe Zabat. We don't have time.